for joining me, Mr. Daryl Davis, advisor to the UNC Center of Sport Business, founder and CEO of the Parish Group, and Tar Heel alum. Let's start off with the background of your journey. Now, I've been blessed to have you as a sponsor and speaker at my many events on campus, from the annual Basketball Analytics Summit to the Carolina Sport Business Club and the Sport Entrepreneurship class over the past 3 years. And I've always been impressed with not only your technical knowledge of finance and real estate, but more importantly, your willingness to help young people. Daryl, tell us where it all started and if you ever saw yourself as a business leader and entrepreneur in asset management.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stroman, for having me on board and on the show. It started for me at a very early age. I was always great with numbers, and my mother would constantly tell me I would be great in accounting. I didn't want to be an accountant because I felt like being a bean counter was boring life to have, and I wanted something more exciting. So I chose to say I wanted to be a brain surgeon. So
that's a big jump.
Yeah, a huge jump. So when I went to University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, I was pre-med, and I actually got into medical school. And one thing about the medical school process that it taught me was after gaining admission into several medical schools, I wasn't offered the scholarships that I felt that I deserved. So I started really looking at the process of going to medical school and becoming a doctor as a business decision, doing a cost-benefit analysis. What are the pros and what are the cons? You know, 4 years of medical school, 4 years of residency, 2 years of specialized, maybe a year or two as a fellowship. What is my age going to be when I come out and actually can start making money? What type of debt will I have to take on to pursue that dream? And it kind of hit me like a bolt of lightning that clearly medicine wasn't a passion of mine. So being that I was looking at attending medical school as a business decision, I said, well, let me go into business. So I went to work with Wachovia Securities, which is now Wells Fargo Advisors, was an investment advisor with them, did really, really well. Was eventually recruited to go to Riggs Bank, based in Washington, D.C. at the time. They were later acquired by PNC Bank. But I was the youngest vice president and director in the bank's history. So during that process, we were doing a conversion from traditional finances to actually doing a P&L statement. So once I saw the efforts of my team and myself and what impact we were having to the bank's bottom line, the numbers didn't match up with the salary and bonuses and commissions that they were paying me. So, again, I felt that at that point, I had a higher purpose, a higher calling that I needed to serve. And again, just like getting hit with a bolt of lightning, I was awakened out of a dream one night, and God spoke to me about starting my own investment management company and gave me the reasons why I should start my own investment management company. And that's where the genesis actually began. Having that experience within that corporate environment, as well as my childhood background of being great with numbers, and my mom always telling me to be an accountant, all the way to my family not being educated about finances at all, became one of the foundational aspects of the company. Building it more based off of client experience and relationships versus the transactional culture of big retail banks and private wealth banks. So all these things kind of came together at the same time, and all of my past experiences played into how the Parish Group was started, the core values that we have as a company, and what our core competencies are going to be moving forward. So that's how it all got started.
Well, it sounds like a great run, a lot of zigging and zagging, but you got to the right spot. Did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
You know, I had several along the way. I would probably say the first teacher that I had was my father. One thing that I do give my parents a lot of credit, as a lot of young people, when they grow up with their parents, they see a lot of opposites amongst their parents. But I always say my mother taught me how to make a life, and my dad taught me how to make a living. And so that the living aspect was the education, the responsibility, the accountability that goes into being an adult, being a positive contributor to society, giving back to my fellow man, helping those less fortunate, raising me upon the tenet that if you're not poor enough to receive charity, you're rich enough to give it. So he was my first teacher and that first positive role model that I had in my life when it came to where I'm at today. I would probably say the second one was a sixth grade teacher of mine. I remember with her, her name was Mrs. McGinn. We were doing a play for Black History Month of Dr. Martin Luther King. And in this play about his life, they had to do the I Have a Dream speech. And at the time, I tried for the role. I didn't get it. So she actually made me a stagehand. And the guy who actually got the role, somewhere down the line, he did something in school where his dad said he couldn't do the play anymore. And she came to me and said, I want you to be, you know, play this role
wow.
and be Dr. Martin Luther King. And I didn't have the time frame to learn everything, but her belief in me to learn the entire I Have a Dream speech in the sixth grade and perform it as a monologue on stage by myself in front of a crowd showed me how much she believed in me and gave me a lot of confidence in myself, because that year, I don't know if they still do them now, there was a D.A.R.E. program for,
yes.
you know, being against drugs. I was actually, you know, by my peers, voted as D.A.R.E. Student of the Year. And, you know, uh-huh. I did this big play, and that was kind of like the launching pad of confidence in myself and my own abilities to accomplish things. And eventually, you know, I went on to have that confidence in college through certain professors, mentors along the way that helped me groom that confidence so that it doesn't turn into arrogance, but it grooms it into confidence, grooms it into discipline, grooming it into being the best person I could possibly be that helped me get out and achieve what I've been able to achieve. So definitely I always reference, one, my father, and two, my sixth grade teacher in middle school, Mrs. McGinn.
Well, that's a great story. It's definitely a parallel to sports, and you have next man up, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly, because I wasn't understudy. I was a stage hand, and it was literally do your job, next man up.
Tell us a little bit about tell us how you enjoy your job. What do you enjoy most about your job?
I enjoy the educational component of what it is that we do. There are a lot of families and individuals that simply are not taught the workings of money, how it works on a macro level in our economy globally, but also on a micro level in terms of your personal finances and your personal household and how you manage the finances of your family. So the educational component is something that I really enjoy, because that's a part of me giving back, and it ties back into, again, my childhood and my youth of there not being an abundance of education surrounding money. My mother had 13 brothers and sisters. My father had 15 brothers and sisters. They sharecropped. They grew up on farms across a dirt road from one another. So the educational opportunities were not there for them for a number of reasons. But that was something that my parents never let me use an excuse for me not educating myself and then turning around and helping to educate others. So the educational component is key for what it is that we do, and it's something that I really, really enjoy and love.
And that will definitely make for a long-lasting business model. Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Darryl Davis, founder and CEO of the Parish Group and Tar Heel alumnus. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with Darryl Davis. Darryl, tell us more about your typical day as someone who leads a team of salespeople looking for clients and sound business opportunities.
Well, a long time ago, I read an article in Forbes magazine, and they did an interview or a survey amongst 20 Fortune 100 CEOs. And in the survey, or the results of the survey, what came out to me was that everybody had a routine that they did. They worked out. They started their mornings early. They had a certain time that they committed to returning phone calls, emails. And they really were very diligent about how they spent their time. And so a typical day for me kind of follows in that same routine. I wake up extremely early. I work out in the mornings, try to relieve some stress, get into the office. I don't drink coffee, but I drink a cup of tea. I eat breakfast every morning.
That's impressive.
Right. Yeah. I eat breakfast. Breakfast to me, I love breakfast. That's my favorite meal. So I eat it every morning. My wife is astonished that I do make time to eat breakfast every morning. But getting into the office roughly about 8 o'clock. We do a staff meeting at 9 o'clock amongst our team. We're a very boutique firm, so it's very easy to round up the team and talk about the goals of individuals and the company as a whole for that day. We write them down. We put them up on a dry erase board so everybody in the organization can see what we're actually looking to achieve for that day, that week, that month. I go into doing a lot of administrative work in the mornings, potentially maybe one client meeting in the morning. I definitely do not take lunch every day like I do breakfast, but afternoons are typically spent with clients and client meetings, whether that be a pension fund or it could be an athlete or an entertainer or a high net worth individual or business owner. That's the way I delegate my afternoons with our team, making sure that's spent with clients. The mornings are spent on the administrative side.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the Parish Group?
Well, I think we're an asset management and advisory firm, and one of the things that differentiates us from a lot of majority firms or larger firms is that we seek to educate. We acquire a lot of clients from other financial firms where they have an advisor that just basically says, leave it to me, I'll take care of it, and that's not something that we want to do. Our kind of like motto inside the company is not like a tagline, but we want to educate, engage, and empower. So it's the three E's. So the education piece, again, I touched on a little bit earlier, that's something that we love to do, to educate our client. We feel that the educated client is our best client, because we don't want the client that wants to go into Walmart and, you know, gets everything thrown at them in large volumes. We want the client that is educated about their finances, that when they come to us and work with us, they're going into a boutique. They know specifically some of the needs that they have. They have some of their wants, and it helps us become more efficient with helping them achieve their goals. I think one thing that a lot of firms fail at is also the engagement part. Again, you have a lot of advisors say that they'll handle things, they'll move things forward, and they might sit down with a client once every 6 months, once a year, to see if things are on track. We want our clients to be engaged with their money, and I think that's a key differentiator between us and other firms. Because when I was growing up, they used to say that knowledge is power. There were a lot of advertisements about knowledge is power. And what I came to learn later on in life, that is not so. Knowledge plus action is power. So that education, then the engagement is the action. And from there, we can empower our client base to succeed in managing their finances. So it's that education, that engagement, and that empowerment is something that we stand on. I also have like a little acronym. You might hear it in psychology, where you have a type A personality. I say we're a type A organization. Instead of type spelled with the Y, we spell it with the I. T for transparency, I for integrity, P for performance, E for expertise, and A is for accountability. And I think the accountability piece, when it comes to dealing with financial services, is again something that differentiates us from other firms. We're very accountable for what we do, for our successes, but we're also accountable for our failures. Nobody's 100% correct, and we don't try to shift blame to a client or anybody else. When we make a mistake, we're very accountable about the mistake that we've made, and we focus in on the client experience to make sure that that is top notch. So, you know, taking on that accountability and taking blame and accepting it and doing what we can to make it right is what helped us stay in business as long as it has, because we've been around for 14 years now.
Well, that's very impressive. Definitely, I like the use of the acronyms. We're very similar. I also use three E's for my teaching philosophy: engage the students, empower the students, and have them explore. So we're both working with the three E's.
Yes.
Now, definitely, this industry is very, very competitive. What drives you?
The competition.
Okay.
to be honest with you, there's plenty of times where we sit down with clients and we encourage them to compare us to other firms, compare our experience, compare our performance. We seek out that competition because we feel that we're the best at what we do. And so we feel that we're the best at what we do. Maybe it's, you know, the wannabe athlete in me that I want to beat the best to be the best. So we encourage our clients to shop around and shop us against other firms, and to, you know, even, you know, if, you know, just kind of like round number example, that if they have $2 million, put $1 million with us, put $1 million with another firm, and, you know, match apples for apples and see who actually performs better. We thrive on that competition because we know competition is actually what brings out the best in us.
I've just paused there because you got me. I like that idea. Yes, show me your stuff and I'll show you mine, and let's see who lasts.
Yeah.
So you know, the world of entrepreneurship is so exciting. You know, people see the glamour. You're not necessarily having to report to someone, although we know as entrepreneurs, you always have someone you have to report to. But what would you advise to young people who are interested in being entrepreneurs? Any quick tips you'd give them?
I say quickly, first thing, you have to establish the culture that you want in your organization. And that starts at the very onset of when you're beginning the business. Again, coming from the big banks, you know, corporate banking, corporate America, the transactional culture that was there didn't sit well with me. It wasn't part of my core value, so it didn't match well with me. So I had a lot of issues dealing with that component of corporate America. So when I started the organization, I established very early on, we're going to have a culture of education and relationships. And from that point on, everything that we have done has been geared towards that, not geared towards revenue, not geared towards administrative tasks. It has been geared towards education and relationships. And from there, you know, when I told my dad about the culture that I was trying to create and was going to create, he said to me, that's why you're going to make money. That's why you're going to be big. And that's why you're going to grow, because you're not worried about the dollar. You're more so worried about your people and your clients. And putting those two components first is what leads to success.
Well, that's sound advice indeed, because you don't get anywhere without helping and serving people. We'll be right back with Daryl Davis, advisor to the Center of Sport Business and owner of the Parrish Group Companies. We're back with Daryl Davis, founder and CEO of the Parrish Group and Tar Heel alum. Daryl, if you weren't serving your clients and helping them to grow their portfolio, whose job outside of sports would you love to have?
I would love to be a NASCAR driver. That is something that I really do feel that in another life I should have been. I love driving. I drive a lot, different places. I really enjoy NASCAR. And so I always would say that if in another life I would have been a NASCAR driver because it's something I really enjoy. I enjoy that particular profession and that sport. And I know that shocks people all the time when I say that.
Well, it's fast. It's exciting. Definitely a control issue here, because that's high risk, high reward. But I understand it. Some people want to do that. I did actually buy one of those coupons to go down to Charlotte and drive the car.
Yeah.
So a little bit inside of me as well. But I don't know if I could do it full time.
Okay.
But when it's all over and you're sitting in, excuse me, let me start over. When it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, if you can reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
My love for my fellow man. One of the foundational principles, again, that my dad and my parents taught me was to help others. And my mom, being that I say that my dad taught me how to make a living and my mom taught me how to make a life, my mom was very instrumental in making sure that I helped others and I gave back, and I had a love for my fellow man. And she instilled this in me through a little quote. She would always say, keep the love of God first, keep the love of your fellow man second, and keep your love for yourself third, because third place is the victory. So one thing that I always grew up on was realizing third place was the victory, because if I kept the love of God first, then I would love my fellow man second, and putting myself last would ultimately ensure my success in life. So I would want people to know that I have a love for God first, and I had a love for my fellow man second, and I put myself last when it came to life in general, and anything that I accomplished, it was always for the glory of God, it was for the love of my fellow man, and then it was for myself.
Well, that's a great closing statement. Any last thoughts about Tar Heels winning this national championship we get to celebrate for an entire year?
Yes, I've already, you know, been bragging to everybody about it. You know, I'm based in Washington, D.C. There's some Duke people there, and I might see somebody walking by with a Duke T-shirt, and I will say something gladly about it being that we won a national championship. And I'm just very proud and very excited for the team that they've been able to accomplish that after coming back from losing the championship last year in such a heartbreaking manner. They were able to regather, regroup, refocus themselves on pushing towards that prize and actually accomplishing it.
Well, that's definitely a well-stated and a great victory for you and for the Tar Heel Nation. Thanks again for spending time today. Daryl Davis, founder and CEO of the Parrish Group, advisor to the Center of Sport Business, and awesome Tar Heel alumnus.
Thank you again, Dr. Strowman.
If You Only Knew is sponsored by the Center of Sport Business at the Kenan Flagler Business School.